This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Hey, podcast. Joe from Team Gary here. Today's episode is a 20-minute Zoom call that Gary did yesterday morning to talk all things NFT. He talks about why creating a community will be the secret to winning the NFT game and why he thinks about NFTs like he thinks about influencers. Enjoy.
If you want to ask a question, just say what's up in the chat, and then Dustin will just put, I have a queue, and this way we'll open up the chat and have a little fun here for about 20 minutes. Thanks for having me. Nice to share your morning. Good to see all of you. And let's get into it.
Tech news.
Hey, Gary.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm super well.
My question for you specifically with NFT was, there's the talk of the actual NFT art, but then there's also these platforms like Rarible and Terra Virtua and like the shelves and picks of the NFT community. So what's your thoughts on those and what about those things? Because what I understand is NFT can be very risky, but with these platforms that can give people exposure to NFTs, but also have it a little bit more risk averse.
Don't let there be any confusion. They're both risky. You know, these platforms, everybody's competing with everybody to be the eBay, to be the PayPal, to be the wallet. So all of this is high risk because it's very new technology. And so it's definitely a high risk, high reward space right now in the short term because we're in the very early days of it. You know, you're talking about something that's 4 years old in theory overall and really, you know, 4 months old in like consumer traction at scale above the earliest adopters. So to your point, I think that 98% of the NFT projects that are launching right now will not end up being remarkable investments because there'll be a bubble moment, because there'll be too much supply. Everything you can think of is gonna have an NFT and there's only gonna be so much demand against it. The platforms are very interesting, but you know, it's funny to hear that startups are considered safe. That's how high risk all of this is because 95% of the startups will fail as well and they're all competing against each other. So the whole space is risk in the short term. The point I'm making with my conversation is within there will be some diamonds. And like, I do think that like safe historical important IPs like Star Wars and Pokemon and Elvis Presley, if you look carefully, there'll be some opportunities on the art collectible side, but the overall NFT movement of like non-fungible tokens is like believing, like I'm loud now because I'm saying it's 1994 and the internet is gonna be big, but Ask Jeeves was a failure. Like 8 billion websites that came out in 94, 95, 96 are no longer here. And so I'm worried that people, like, no, it's amazing to me. Every day I'm saying the same thing, yet everyone's like, Gary Vee's trying to, like, I'm like, are you not listening? Like, why do people just headline read? This is very clear. The macro technology of NFTs is a major life-changing technology. I genuinely believe that. A ledger at scale, you know, all of this, like, that's huge. Like the ability to transact a mortgage. I'm gonna launch probably this book I locked in, but like the next book, I may NFT it. Like this is gonna change the world, but that doesn't mean you should buy NBA Top Shot and hash masks with all the money you have in the world, because I do think there's a lot of vulnerability in the pricing right now because people are out of control because of the hype.
Right, and I have another follow-up question.
Tech, I apologize. I don't have a lot of time, so I'm just trying to get to more people, but we'll do this again.
Sure. It was okay. Fair enough.
Go ahead.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dust. Thank you, Tech. Dust, go ahead.
Joe Bohm.
Hello. Hello.
Hey, brother.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Can you explain NFTs to me, but like in a simple way? Because I don't get it.
Do you play video games?
Yes.
Have you ever bought skins or virtual things for your game?
Yeah.
That's an NFT. Let me explain.
All right, then.
Let me explain what I mean by that. You wanted that item to be a utility in a world that you cared about, or as I'm sure you'll admit, Joe, for the clout amongst your friends and other people by having that thing virtually, correct?
Yeah.
You understand NFTs. That is going to happen to everything in the world, not just the confines of Fortnite.
Okay.
So literally everything is has the potential to be a non-fungible token. And then what is, let me give you an example, Joe. In 1999, I told all my friends that everybody would date online, that people would go online and meet, and everybody thought that was the craziest shit I've ever said, because it wasn't socially acceptable at the time. Understand? It felt weird. It wasn't normal.
Yeah.
When we talk about NFTs today, where I'm like, hey, you're gonna wanna buy the virtual currency, the social currency of a digital object that is proven that you own it. Today, many people, Joe, think that's weird. They don't get it. They're like, why don't I just take a picture of the JPEG? They don't understand that provenance matters so much, like who actually owns it, right? I believe in 15 years, Joe, that you're gonna meet somebody. You're gonna meet Vikram, who's on top of you, Vikram Pai, who's on top of you on my screen right now. And you're gonna meet him. And instead of going to Instagram or TikTok or Google to know a little bit more about him, you're gonna literally go to his open wallet and see the things that he has bought in and make connections with him that you both were into this or you both were into that, or that he owns a piece of art that Ninja once owned. It's gonna matter. It's going to be social currency, no different than wearing a logo on your clothes that expresses who you are, whether that's Nike or Kith. Understood?
Yes, I think so.
And listen, I think I appreciate you saying I think so, but if you've ever bought anything virtually to communicate to other people, like it sounds you have, you've already got the starting point to understand why it's gonna happen.
Got it.
Cheers. Let's keep moving.
Thank you.
Jennifer Gifford.
Hi, Gary. Hi, Jen. Was curious how you felt or if you feel photography has a place in this, or photographers.
I think photographers and photography has an incredible place for this. The issue is 99% of photographers are not gonna know how to build a story and cultivate a community that's gonna allow them to create a lot of demand for their art.
Okay, so it's more about the story rather than the art.
No.
Or why.
No. But it's both, right? I mean, the art matters. But you know what? You know how I think about NFT projects going forward? The same way I think about influencers.
Okay.
You know, 15 years ago, 12 years ago, I wrote a book called Crush It.
Yes, I read it.
Thank you. And my thesis, if you go read it, it's crazy how much it turned out to be true, was that everybody had a shot at building something around their passions or interests or skills.
Uh-huh.
Not everybody was destined to be Charlie D'Amelio or Logan Paul and make tens of millions of dollars. But there's a lot of people who do make 5 to 15 to 30,000 a year doing a couple of brand deals. They're the long tail of influencers. Make sense?
Mm-hmm, yes.
I think the same thing's gonna happen with NFT projects. I think there'll be a lot of photographers who, without NFTs, were gonna make $0 selling photography, who are now gonna make 27,000 a year on their photography, because some people are going to buy it, some people are going to resell it, they're going to make royalties on the resale, and it's going to add up. Some will make 270,000 a year, some will make 2.7 million a year, some will make 27 million a year.
Well, Kate Woodman just sold her first for 20 grand, so.
right now, I think you're going to see a lot of people get overvalued because there's so much overhype, similar to internet stock in 1999 and 2000, right?
Uh-huh.
Long term, I think there's a huge opportunity for a lot of people to get small portions.
Okay.
And then the ultra talented at either the art, because the world decided, or the cultivating of a community of 1,000 people that are very passionate, will be able to make a nice little chunk. I think there's people that make $80,000 a year being an accountant, miserable, that are artists inside, that will be able to make $80,000 a year being an NFT artist in 3 years. And I think that's beautiful.
Very beautiful. Thank
Cheers.
You.
Cheers.
Thank you.
John Sheely.
Hey, Gary. Great to be chatting with you this morning.
Same, brother.
You mentioned influencers on the last question, and I heard an interesting use case scenario for NFTs the other day as more of investments in a creator and kind of like part of a membership club where
100%. You know,
I was going to say, is that something where you see kind of, you know, a more clear future at, or obviously collectibles will be part of it.
No, access, the metadata of access to humans to companies is going to be the game. When there's a NFT chip for Chipotle and it's a golden burrito, and if you have it, you get free for life, that's utility. I'm going to be launching a project that some of the NFTs that you buy from my project will allow you to go to any keynote that I ever give in my life free, front row, and meet me in the green room. That's a utility, that's access.
Yeah, and then being able to, you know, essentially kind of take part in the overall direction of where that brand is going. So maybe like a conference call or be part of, you know, a board meeting, like 100%. Virtually.
I think that artists, music artists, are gonna NFT 50% of their original demo, and yeah, you'll be able to buy a piece. And if they hit big, you'll make royalties. This is contracts. These are smart contracts that are transparent, decentralized for everything you can think of. I mean, there's gonna be people that can NFT their career. I could have NFT'd my career when I was NFT 27. All of it, but like, I could have been like, hey, I'm Gary V, I'm gonna NFT my career. I'm giving up 10% of my earnings. You can buy it for $5,000 for 1% right now. I could have gotten those monies and all of you would have made a fortune.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot coming.
Yeah, well, great, thank you. Cheers. Yeah, that's all I was just curious about.
No worries. Thanks.
I'm gonna bring on Nelia.
Hey Gary, how are you?
I'm well, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm a longtime follower, first time caller.
Thank you.
So my question is, my daughter, she's starting a jewelry business. How can she use NFTs to sort of like back it up and somehow fund it?
Well, what she can do is she can make NFT versions, right? Visual mm-hmm. versions of the actual jewelry, then sell, or you know, that image on a platform, an OpenSea or things of that nature. But then in the metadata, it can say that if you buy this, you get the actual piece of jewelry. In the contract of the NFT, she can say, if this ever gets sold, I get 10% royalties. So she creates a secondary revenue stream on the collectible version of the physical. And if she actually does this quickly and then emails a bunch of local newspapers and local TV stations, they may give her a platform, because right now people are trying to cover this new technology and they may think that's interesting.
Got it.
She could also, in that same project, create an extra 1,000 NFTs and give them out to influencers for free. Just give them to them. Now those influencers have vested interest in that NFT going up, so they may promote it, which then backdrops into promoting her actual business.
Okay. Just one thing. I love UFC. I'm glad that you've gotten into the game, and I would love to attend the UFC match when it comes back into Toronto.
I love that. Thank you for saying that, and I'm happy to be in the game, and I hope I get to see you there. I love Toronto, one of my favorite cities in the world.
Awesome. Have a good one, Gary. Thank you.
Cheers. Thank you.
Ryan McGavin.
Hey, Gary. This is Ryan, and I'm curious. You talked specifically about your book. How would you plan to release a book? And I'm thinking, you know, again, of what you're saying and, you know, having the community and the people to back your project. But what about the average person who isn't Gary Vaynerchuk, the independent author who wants to have that ownership over their work and the provenance and take advantage of this? How would you suggest that happen?
Well, Rye, all of it, even if NFTs didn't exist, is always about having an actual community, right? So
sure,
whether you're a big name or small name, you know, don't forget, I was also, you know, everyone starts at zero followers, right? So cultivating a community, but I do think there's a lot of clever things that can be done. You know, imagine, you know, I don't know this, maybe you do, Harry. When Harry Potter came out, I don't think she was a big author at the time, right?
No, she wasn't. No.
So imagine she's launching that today. And she says, I'm going to make 1,000, I'm going to self-publish. I'm going to make 10,000 copies, but I'm going to make an NFT with it. If you buy the NFT for $30, let's say that's what she wanted for the book, I'm going to send you the book, but you still have the NFT. But I'm going to make 10,000 of those, but I'm going to make 100 golden ones.
Sure.
Like, right? Like the cover of the original Harry Potter, but in gold, a gold overlay. The digital artist makes it gold instead of regular, right? On these 100, if you buy this, you get to meet with me on Zoom once a week for live readings and Q&A, part of my book club. So this one's $70. So now that happens, Ryan, right? And then fucking Harry Potter becomes Harry Potter. Now what happens is, in the contract of the NFT, she writes that if you ever trade this NFT, the digital version of the book,
right,
I get 10% commission of it, and on and on. It becomes Harry Potter. Those NFTs would then become collectible. So what was once $30, the original book, might be selling right now for $600 because it's rare and people care about Harry Potter the same way that somebody would buy a rare toy and put it on their shelf, right?
Right.
But she's making $30 every time there's a transaction. And the gold ones, well, those fuckers might be worth $10,000. And when Chris Lonsdale buys one for $20,000, she's getting $2,000. That's how you build an economy. Back to your question, which is I actually want to use an NFT overlay as a launch to build demand for me. It actually starts with 35, 7, 9 people that actually give a shit about you for some reason or another, right? It can literally be your mother and best friend. No different than the first 10 people that watched Wine Library TV in 2006. I was asking people to watch it so that there was more than 10 views. My family, you create a little ecosystem around you, right? But you still, like, NFTs are a function. They're not necessarily the thing that's gonna build brand. Using social media and those things to build brand and community are still incredibly important.
Well, then how do you collect the long-term royalties off of that?
Well, you put it into the contract. You make
just a smart in the contract.
Yeah, everybody's gonna learn about smart contracts and the metadata of NFTs is gonna become the whole thing.
Right.
That's going to become where the long-term, right? Like, you know, I have one more book deal on my current book deal, which, you know, I've been flirting and putting out content. That'll be out this winter. I was going to sign a huge deal, but now I'm really debating not doing it and launching it direct myself with an NFT overlay because I have enough juice where, you know, I can create these different layers, a Zoom room for one, a part of my audiobook experience, a dinner book club series. Those are the special ones. I can make a one of one, which lets you work with me on my next book. Who the fuck knows what that would sell for?
For sure. For sure.
Like, that's what happens when you build an economy. Humans are going to build economies around them. There's going to be different scales of those economies based on how much humans have given.
All right. Thank you. Right.
Cheers. I got to run, team. I'm sorry. I'll try to do a lot more of these pop-ups. I hope that you've learned something. If you learned something from this at all, please hit me up on Twitter right now while I go into my next meeting. I'm going to be reading my, you know, maybe use just the hashtag NFT Gary V, NFT Gary V, so I catch it. There it is. I love all of you. I'm sorry this was so short. I'll try to do more. I'm really trying to make sure everybody under it really, really gets educated. Oop, I put that. I didn't put the tag there. That was just for Jan because she DM'd me or he DM'd me. Hashtag NFT Gary V. The macro of this is all time. It's web 1.0, it's web 2.0, this is web 3.0. The individual projects you have to be very thoughtful of. Do I think there's Amazon stock year 2000 in this space? I do. Do I think 98% of it is gonna have a problem? I do. Do I think that a lot of it can bubble burst and that's the time to buy and take it up? I do. Like, there's a lot of different strategies. Get educated, spend 30, 50 hours educating yourself. Not just, oh, Gary B tweet about NFTs. Let me just go fucking buy them. Got it? Cheers, everyone. Love you. All right, episode's over. Please leave a review and subscribe up on Apple. It would mean a lot to me. Thank you very much.
Today's highlighted review is Gary's The Goat by J. Matthew King. I love the content Gary brings and his heart. I also love his creativity, and he is never afraid to try new things. Keep those reviews coming. We could highlight yours next.